Well, welcome back to the Drew Mariani Show here on Relevant Radio. My name is Maggie Carrozza. I'm one of Drew's producers. Just filling in for the chaplet today while he's out. We have Ed Morrissey guest hosting today for the show, and he's doing a great job. We already talked about Israel and Iran and talked about free speech in Europe and why we as Americans should be paying attention, because a lot of things that we're seeing here are also being done there. So we want to pray for freedom of expression, freedom of our religion, to be able to worship God fully in our lives. Ed, I have the pleasure of praying with him today. Ed, is there anything that you would like to lift up before we get started?
Oh, you know, I always like to lift up my wife when we're doing this, at least, you know, once during my guest hosting run. And, you know, for, you know, health issues and just make sure that she stays healthy and in thankfulness for the health that she does have. So, and I know she's listening in the other room, too. So,
just
want to make sure that we're thinking of her as well.
Absolutely. We are praying for you and your whole family. And speaking of families, I witnessed something incredible yesterday while I was kind of monitoring prayer intentions throughout the show. There is a friend of Relevant Radio. He has been guests on certain shows, and he's an author. His name's Kennedy Hall. He's written books. One of his more popular recent ones is called Terror of Demons, Reclaiming Traditional Catholic Masculinity. And it's sort of a reflection on manhood and masculinity through the eyes of Saint Joseph and what we can learn from him. So I saw that he had posted something on X yesterday, and it totally caught my eye because it just was so shocking. And earlier in the day, I saw this post. It said, Kennedy had posted this. He said, my friend's oldest son was crushed by a tractor tire, helicoptered to a hospital. He has a crushed pelvis, internal bleeding, in and out, low blood pressure. He's receiving last rites right now. And he says, please pray. I love this family very much, and I'm very fond of this young man. Now, as I was looking at prayer intentions before the rosary last evening, this was just hours later after seeing that first post, and I come across an update from Kennedy. And this is what it said. I have an update. It seems something miraculous has occurred. Out of nowhere, my friend's son, his internals, his pelvis, sternum, and everything else is uninjured. He has a broken ankle, but otherwise everything else is fine. The doctors cannot explain how this happened. God is good, and that's all that's said. My jaw dropped to the floor, and I just was like, wow, God, thank you for being so kind and so merciful to us. I'm sure that they had their whole prayer family lifting this young man up, and just to see that a crushed pelvis could be regenerated out of nowhere, it's amazing, absolutely amazing. Something else that I just wanted to lift up today is the anniversary of when Pope Benedict XVI was elected to papacy back in 2005. So I thought we should call on his intercession today just for his prayers for our church and for the protection of this apostolate as we're bringing souls to Christ. So with that, Ed, you ready?
I am ready. Thank you so much.
All right. Here we go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. And I forgot to say, if you have a prayer intention, give us a call. Our lines are open. That phone number is 888-914-9149. Once again, that's 888-914-9149. Or you can always email us. Our show email is drew@relevantradio.com. Or you can send us a post on X or Twitter. That's @DrewMarianiShow, and I usually have my eyes on it throughout the show. So let's start today over in San Francisco, California, with Frank. Frank, how can we pray for you?
Thank you for all you guys do. I'd like to pray that my wife's diabetic retinopathy will be totally and completely healed, and her eyes, everything with her eyes will be totally and completely healed, and that her high blood pressure and her diabetes and her atrial fibrillation will be totally healed. I want to pray also for Drew Mariani, for the good works he does. And the guy is just so great. He inspires me to be a better person and a holier person.
Amen, and, Frank. Me too.
Same here.
I pray that my siblings, their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren, and their spouses and their spouses-to-be will be, together with my wife and I, will be protected from all danger, evil, sin, and harm. And you throw Drew in there as well. Protect him from all danger, evil, sin, and harm. And thank you.
God bless you, Frank. Frank, what's your wife's name?
Elizabeth.
Oh, beautiful name. We're going to pray for you and for her, for the protection of your family and your marriage, and for healing. It sounds like she's going through a lot. So we lift her up for restoration and healing. I also thank you for the prayers of protection for Drew, and all of us here at Relevant Radio are so grateful for that. He does work hard, and I'm glad he's got a moment to step out today. So we pray for him. We pray for Tom, our other producer, for Patrick Alog and his girlfriend Gigi, who is battling cancer right now. For Miranda on the phones, I'm praying for her too. And the video guys, Dan and Dennis, I'm praying for you too. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. For this next decade, we head over to California again. We're speaking with Raphael. Raphael, how can we pray for you today?
Hi. Good afternoon. So I want to start off with, I've got quite a few. I'll try to go through them pretty quick here.
Sure.
So for my wife, she 6 years ago got diagnosed with thyroid cancer, and she had surgery, got it all removed, and she literally went from, you know, like a 360-degree turn. She was, you know, vibrant, alive, everything, and now she's no energy. She's, you know, always tired, and we cannot seem, like the doctors and just everything we do, just cannot seem to get her, I guess, you know, normal or somewhat normal now that she has no thyroid. And it's hard to see from who she was.
Of course, you know, and it's not so, just her going through it. It's you. It's the whole family. You mourn this whole transition. Absolutely, that's tough.
Correct. Yeah. So I know Drew. Sorry, I'm getting choked up. Drew always said to ask God for, you know, for the impossible, because that's what he wants. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if he can, like, literally give her thyroid back, I'd be so grateful.
Raphael, I love your faith. I really, really do. You know, we just opened this chaplet talking about a family who was praying for their son who got crushed by a tractor tire, and his crushed pelvis regenerated inexplicably before the doctor's eyes. They could not explain how he is walking away with only a broken ankle.
I heard that, and I thought, why not? not ask?
You know what? The first reading today, actually, also as well, I'm going to call on the intercession of St. Paul for your wife's health here, because he was struck blind, and our Lord appeared to him and appeared to Ananias. Ananias went and prayed with him, and the scales fell from his eyes, and he was able to see again. It was such a miraculous event that, you know, it's hard for us to understand this, but it's something that our faith is hinged on. St. Paul went and did incredible things for the faith after that. We're going to pray for this incredible, miraculous event, that your wife's thyroid would be regenerated, that her health would be restored. We're holding out the big cup, and don't give up. I know it's hard. It's so hard in the middle of it. Look for those little glimmers of hope. There will be little glimmers of hope, and just hang on to those. We're praying for you. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we take Bill in Winnipeg, Canada, good to have you, Bill. I've got just a couple of written intentions that have come in. Carol is praying for her sister's MRI today, that it goes well. Dustin had written to us a couple of days ago. He says, praise report, I got the job. Thank you, Jesus, and everyone who prayed for me. I'm now asking for prayers for my sister, Tina. She's in the hospital now because she had cardiac arrest. And on top of that, she's also dealing with cancer. Please pray for her and her daughter's conversion. You got it, Dustin. RJ from California asked us to pray hard for him. He has a really intense surgery this upcoming Tuesday. He's praying that he will survive it, and that he is praying for his family as they all go through this trial together. Pamela from New Jersey is praying that her friend Susan, who just had cancer surgery, will recover and heal with flying colors. And our friend Christine on X sent us a picture of her cat with a rosary in its paws. She says, my cat Angelica, named after Mother Angelica, is praying the chaplet with us today. Glad to have you. All right, we're headed over to Bill in Winnipeg, Canada. Bill, how can we help you?
Good afternoon, Maggie. I'm First off, I'd just like to lift up you, Drew, and all of Relevant Radio team.
Thank you.
I'd like to lift up Father Simon.
Yes.
I'd like to lift up my supervisor, Wayne Budge. He's having health issues where he's not getting oxygen to his blood, which is making it impossible for him to really do anything. He's no energy, no. And so he's really struggling with that. I'd really like healing for him, that he would be able to one day come back to work.
Oh.
I'd like to lift up you and your baby, but also your husband, Joe, and all fathers.
Yes.
Like God's graces and blessings upon all fathers throughout the world.
Bill, God bless you.
I'd like to lift up, if I may, all who my sins have wounded for their healing. I'd like to pray for the conversion of my children, that they would return to the church, but also that they would be reconciled amongst one another, and for my reconciliation with them as well.
Oh.
And lastly, for the softening of my ex-wife's heart, that God's grace may come upon her, that there may be good things for these intentions. That's what I'm lifting.
Beautiful, Bill. You have an incredible heart. I can tell just by the way that you pray for others. And we pray for the family. We pray for the restoration of relationships amongst siblings and parents and spouses. That softening of the heart is so important. Lord, please touch those stony hearts out there and replace them with hearts of flesh. That's your specialty, you know? And for all of these intentions, for his colleagues' health, that can be such a downer. I know when people love the work that they do, they love the people that they work with. Sometimes it can be so hard when they're away from that. Like our very own Father Simon, we miss him so much. So we lift him up again in prayer as well for these intentions and all of those in our listeners' hearts. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Helen is up next for this fourth decade of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. If you're just tuning in, Drew is out today. My name is Maggie. I'm one of his producers. I'm just stepping in to lead the chaplet today. And Ed Morrissey is guest hosting for Drew today, so stick around later. We've got some good topics coming up. But Helen is up next in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Helen, how can we pray for you?
Hi, I hope and pray for the best for you and your delivery.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. My brother, he had 9 children, and he lost one of his sons last week to suicide.
Oh, no.
And now one of his daughters was diagnosed with ALS. And I'm holding a big cup for this family. It's a beautiful family, and they've just got such a heavy cross.
Oh, Helen, you know, Drew says a lot. He quotes, I believe it was Mother Teresa who said, if suffering and trial have come into your life, it's but the kiss of Jesus. And I know sometimes we wish we could say, Jesus, enough with the kisses already.
Yes,
it's hard to see the beauty in this suffering. What's your brother? What's your brother's name?
Cloudy.
We're gonna lift him up and his whole family.
Please, he says he doesn't know if he can handle anymore because he lost another son in a motorcycle accident, and his wife died a few years ago, and he's just heavy-hearted. I mean, no, his daughter got Lou Gehrig's disease. I mean,
That is a tough season to be going through. Helen, I want to lift you up as such a prayer warrior of a sister. He's really blessed to have you in his life. And we're going to pray, Lord, we ask that this period of suffering and darkness in this family be lifted. Bring them consolation. Bring them peace that surpasses all understanding. I know that there's a very significant wound that suicide leaves in families, but I pray that your grace would overcome that wound, that there would still be purpose in her brother's life, that he would be able to find joy and find purpose in these upcoming years. It's going to be hard, but we pray that he gets through that. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay, this is the last decade of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and we're headed over to Louisville, Kentucky to talk with Susan. Susan, how can we pray for you?
Oh, Maggie, thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course.
I want to ask God to bless you and all the people there.
Oh,
about 2.5 weeks ago, my niece had a baby because she had preeclampsia.
Mm.
So it was premature. And the baby has now developed a double brain bleed.
Oh.
So I just ask Jesus to heal the baby and take care of the family.
Absolutely.
And I ask God also to help all the people in my family and all people that I know that have drifted away from the church to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Amen, Susan. I will echo that prayer. I pray for God's grace to flood the hearts of those who are indifferent and bitter and angry and hurt, especially those who are the most hardened of hearts towards our Lord. I ask that our Lord would reveal himself to them and that they might be driven to their knees in love and repentance of what they've done in their lives and forgiveness for those who have hurt them. Susan, I want to pray for your great nephew, this little baby with a double brain bleed. I pray through the special intercession of St. Raymond Nonatus and St. Gerard Magella and Our Lady of Lourdes, who was able to heal an infant who was very, very sick. That was, I think, one of the first healings with her miracle spring. So, Susan, we lift up your family for these healings and intercession. I want to lift up everyone that's on the lines. I see you all. Jenny, Alisa, Joanne, Richard, Linda, Karen, Katie, Marie, Jose, every single one of you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your heart for prayer. I want to lift up everyone that's on our YouTube or Facebook or X. God is listening to your prayers. Everyone that's listening right now just through the radio stream, we love you. We're praying for you. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Lourdes,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Pope John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Pope Benedict XVI,
pray for us.
Saint Gerard Majella,
pray for us.
Saint Raymond Nonatus,
pray for us.
Saint Paul,
pray for us.
Saint Maximilian Kolbe,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
Real faith, real talk. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's 34 minutes past the hour. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Drew today, taking your calls at 888-914-9149. I want to just thank Maggie one more time for being able to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy with her, and thank all of our listeners for sharing their lives with us so that we could pray for you and you could pray for us. Coming up on the Cale Clark Show in about 90 minutes, the topics today are going to be, is Taylor Swift compatible with Catholicism, plus infinite confusion over infinite dignity, and The Week That Was. Should be a really great show starting at 5 Central Time on the Cale Clark Show, so be sure to stay tuned after we're done here. Now joining us to talk about his work at the Vatican and at Fatima and other places, sculptor Timothy Schmaltz. He's world-renowned. He's got installations at the Vatican, Fatima, and at the Basilica of St. Peter in Chains. He is best known for his statue of Homeless Jesus, which has been placed on outdoor benches in cities around the world. He has been selected to be the official sculptor of the National Eucharistic Congress, and you can find him online at timothypaulschmaltz.com. And Timothy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome, Ed. I'm just taking a break from doing some sculpture right now, so perfect timing.
Well, good. I am glad to hear that. Although I should feel bad that we're interrupting your beautiful work. I've had a chance. You know, I'm not much of an artist myself. You know, my idea of sculpture is to take a block of stone and to chip away everything that doesn't look like what I'm trying to do. I mean, that's the limit of my skill. Yours is just absolutely stunningly beautiful. If you go to timothypaulschmaltz.com, and it's spelled S-C-H-M-A-L-Z, timothypaulschmaltz.com, you can see examples of his work, including Homeless Jesus, and you can understand why you are such a world-renowned sculptor. These are beautiful, complicated works in a realistic style, which really is sort of a callback to a different era. I mean, we don't generally see a lot of that in this era. A lot of starkly realistic depictions of people and things. You know, there's a lot of abstract art and sculpture these days. Tell us a little bit, first off, how you started sculpting and how you came to this style of sculpting.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned modern artwork because I went when I was 19. I got accepted to one of the most prestigious schools in art, and what I was taught was it almost felt like indoctrination to a type of artwork that I can really. I always like to quote Pope John Paul II, a culture of death. Well, this was kind of like an art of nihilism in a sense. And what I saw there was a fascination with whatever's shocking and whatever's new. And it seemed like to get your badges in an artist today, all you would have to do is do something new or shocking. And I thought that is really lacking substance. So I quit art school and I, in a sense, created my own school where the great masters were my teachers. So I would look at the work, the beautiful work of Michelangelo, Bernini, Da Vinci, and I started to actually copy them. They were my role models. And it wasn't long before I realized it was a kind of a eureka moment that the real reason why their artwork was great was not because of their brush strokes or the detail in their carvings, but it was the subject matter they were sculpting or painting. In a sense, that is what made the work spectacular. And in order, and I basically came to the conclusion, in order to have an epic piece of art, you need an epic subject matter. And that's the first ingredient. Everything else is secondary.
Well, I think at that point in time, I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, no problem. Well, at that time, I kind of had an artistic conversion, and I just started doing Christian artwork. I was like 21 or so. And it was probably the most radical thing to do, and that is to do Christian artwork in modern times. And I just fell in love with it. And I really haven't stopped since. And what I find fascinating is you mentioned the homeless Jesus. It's quite frankly been installed all around the world. And what I find amazing is here in the year 2022, the sculpture Jesus is being put out there on the city streets. And I really do believe that people have this spiritual hunger for spiritual artwork. And it's very rarely done nowadays. And so I feel like I'm basically a crusader to bring this back into our culture.
Well, Timothy, I think crusade's the right word. And I do appreciate the difficulty of this. And the question I was going to ask you, you're talking about you need to have, you know, inspiring subject matter to do inspiring art. And I mean, there's all sorts of different ways of inspiration, but I think you're onto something. And I think this is what's missing from modern art is a sense of transcendence, right? Is that exactly. art really should call us to things that are greater than we ourselves. And I mean, that can be secular as well, right? You do a sculpture of, say, Cincinnatus, right? Who was the Roman dictator who gave back power at the end of his, twice gave back power because he didn't think it should be in one man's hands. And he's gone down in history, or any of the other, you know, fascinating subjects of history. There is something transcendent about those figures, even in a secular sense. But what is really, I think, the key to religious art is the key to a transcendence of a power greater than ourselves, right? in this case of doing a sculpture of Cincinnatus, and I'm, you know, I'm just using that as a potential example, there's something in there that's better than ourselves, right? Because most of us know that if we were handed, if we were given the power, you know, handed the reins of power, we probably wouldn't hand them back, right? It's a rare quality, and that's the reason why he comes down to us through history. But religious art, when done properly, calls us to God and calls us to that transcendence that is something we all yearn for.
Yeah, and about artwork, I really do believe it has a function. It is serving something else, and that's I think that the place of it. It's like any other form of artwork, like music or poetry. So the idea of actually today creating representations of Christ, representations of the saint, and putting them out. Also, I believe it is one of the great ways to celebrate and promote, because really you don't have very much of it happening today, which really makes it being it really hits a spotlight because of that. I think about some great movies, some films. However, you can have an amazing movie, but then next month it's buried by another movie and another one. And I think about how many sculptors are out there and how many Christian sculptors are out there. And it is a very, very rare thing. And I think part of that is because, like me, when I was 19, a lot of these potential artists that could do spiritual stuff are hoodwinked into doing the popular shock art or the avant-garde stuff. And so I think we're missing out on generations of new artists that would embrace the Christian subject matter, because it's really a taboo. It's not even considered artwork in the mainstream art world, right?
Right, right. I mean, this gets us to formation too. And you know, when you're at 19, you're still trying to be formed in something, and especially if you're starting off knowing that you want to become an artist, and you're looking for people who are going to be able to help you develop that. Because I think it would be extremely rare individual who could just simply spring into full mature being as an artist just simply because he decided to do it one day and realized he was brilliant at it. I mean, you've done a lot of very, very fascinating things. You've been like, we're going to talk a little bit about your work at the Vatican, how that came to be about and that sort of thing. But I mean, you weren't fully formed at 19 as an artist. You were looking for ways of being formed. And I think it's unusual and very, maybe a blessing that you were able to recognize that that's what you were looking for, and that the formation that you were being offered was really not the formation that was going to suit you.
I agree. And that period of my life there, it was pivotal in a sense. But what I was exposed to was an amazing world. If you look at the history of Western art, you will find that probably 95, if not, I'd like to say 99%, but I'm not going to do that, but not, around 95% of it was Christian artwork up to the last century and a half or so. And one of the fascinating things is I do believe that this is the natural seat for artwork to sit in a sense. You look at the idea of Christianity, where it's all about the spiritual turning into the physical. And what better thing to celebrate that than the physical idea of sculpture and artwork? It's bringing it down from that heavenly sphere into a tactile reality. So I think that the idea that our whole culture, most of what we know of artwork throughout the centuries, has been Christian artwork is not just a coincidence. It's perfect. It's coherent.
You know, just returning to the alternative, right? Since you've made the decision to pursue religious inspiration for your art and to be in that realist mode, what do you see as an observer of modern art and sort of this sort of brutalist or just abstract maybe even sort of nihilistic art. Do you see anybody else walking away from that? Do you see that gaining strength instead?
Well, I see people walking away from the contemporary artwork in a sense is because they're disinterested. I can't tell you how many public galleries I went into, and they're basically vacant airport hangars of a distilled environment with few people walking around. I really do think that the idea of artwork today is, in a sense, also a true reflection of our culture. And we are at a place where we're very timid to express any ideas whatsoever about the ideas, important ideas, the big ideas about faith in our culture, right? And the public sphere is really promoting the lack of expression of your beliefs, in a sense. And so if you look at also the artwork that is oftentimes very macabre, very, very sad and depressing subject matters. And I think it is, in a sense, a reflection of our culture here, that we are in a state of nihilism. We don't really, as a culture, we don't really promote our beliefs whatsoever. And in the art galleries, the mainstream artwork is reflective of that. But I do believe that artwork has a huge power, and I do believe that it can turn this ship around. These visual ambassadors are what I believe that art is, like the visual ambassadors of our culture, and it can really impact people, I think, having it out there in society, on the streets, so to speak. I often like saying that if McDonald's was forbidden to use any visuals for their advertisement, and they'd say, "Oh, you can sell your hamburgers, but you can't use the double arch. That's a symbol, and you can't use any photographs of your hamburgers." They would probably say, "Well, we'll fold them."
Right.
And they understand how important that visual presence is. And what I really, as a Catholic sculptor, I really believe that we're doing that ourselves, in a sense, because you see the complete lack of new visuals that are out there, or the minimal amount of new visuals that are put out there. And what does it make? How does this reflect our Catholic culture, in a sense, if most of the representations that we're referring to are done 500 years ago? Michelangelo, Da Vinci, like I mentioned, right?
Right.
And it's almost like, I think that artwork is almost like a homily. You craft it and you present it. It's as artistic as a piece of sculpture. But imagine going to a church all the time and hearing homilies that were done in the 1920s. Well, they might have been beautiful homilies, but one of the ideas is that the priest creates something new and presents it to his people today. And I do believe that artwork, it's a perfect analogy for artwork, that by renewing and creating new artwork, in a sense, we look alive. The heartbeat is present visually within our culture.
We are speaking with Timothy Paul Schmaltz, and timothypaulschmaltz.com is where you can find his website for all of his beautiful sculptures. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about his commissioned work at the Vatican and try to squeeze in a call or two. I'm Ed Morrissey, filling in for Drew Mariani. We'll be right back.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. Thank you for your show.
This is the Drew Mariani Show.
Marvelous show on the radio right now.
On Relevant Radio.
I just want to say real quick, thanks to everybody that calls in. It's so encouraging. What a great community it is. All the shows on Relevant Radio all day long. They're so uplifting.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
Relevant. Relevant Radio.
This is your last chance to accompany Father Rocky on a Relevant Radio pilgrimage to Poland and Prague in September. Very limited spots are available. Departing from Chicago and San Francisco airports only, reserve your spots now at relevantradio.com/Poland. That's relevantradio.com/Poland.
Your life connected.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Drew today and talking with Timothy Schmaltz. And we're going to take your calls. In fact, we're going to try to squeeze one in here. We don't have a lot of time, but we're going to take Dan in Wisconsin. If we can make it quick, Dan, and can ask your question of Timothy Schmaltz.
Thank you very much. I love the program. Timothy, Paul, I want to thank you so much for your work. It's fantastic. I love what you're saying. I was interested in knowing if you're familiar with a Slovak artist, Martin Hudáček.
No, I'm not. Tell me one of his pieces.
He has done an incredible sculpture that's very well known, as far as I know. It's of a mother, a woman in great sorrow, grieving her abortion,
and the second child. Figure. Yeah, I know it. Yeah, that is a beautiful piece. It's a very awesome pro-life sculpture where the mother is grieving, and the child, which is done in a different material, like I think it's a clear crystal material that is comforting the mother. That's the one you're talking about?
It is. It is. Yes.
Awesome.
It communicates
I love
in ways that words alone do not, which your artwork does too.
Well, thank you. Thank
Beautiful.
You. And
yeah, thank you, Dan.
I think that artwork does have that power. Because it's, well, especially sculpture, because it's three-dimensional. It takes up space. Mm-hmm. And it becomes also another way of expression too. Not to say that words are not powerful, but other forms of communication can really, really do the job as well.
Well, I'm glad that you brought this up, Timothy, because it was one of the things I was going to actually bring up with one of your pieces at the Vatican, which is the Angels Unawares sculpture. Well, yeah, for that matter, Homeless Jesus, which is, you know, the most renowned of your works, which is these are sculptures that are connected to transcendent religious themes, but also connected to us and are telling a message. And like the grieving mother statue that Dan is talking about by Martin Hudáček. I mean, that it's not just sculpting Jesus. It's not just sculpting Mary, you know, the Pietà, right? There is a whole story in the Pietà, you know, one of the most beautiful sculptures I've ever seen that is just heartbreaking in the scene. Tell us a little bit about Angels Unawares, how it came to be. And I know we're running short on time, but I do want you to talk a little bit about this.
Angels Unawares is a 20-foot bronze sculpture that has been installed in St. Peter's Square. And I was told it's the first new sculpture to be installed in St. Peter's Square for centuries. The project was an amazing experience to create because it was very, very close to me. When I'm sculpting here in my studio, for years I've been listening to scripture nonstop. I got that privilege. My hands are busy, my eyes are occupied, but my ears are free. So I'll be listening to the Bible when I start. It's part of my practice, my prayer practice, so to speak. And for years I was thinking about how I could actually sculpt, be welcoming to strangers. Many have entertained angels unawares. I think it's one of the most, that's Hebrews 13:2, be welcoming to strangers. Many have entertained angels unawares. And I thought, oh my God, I have to do a sculpture of that. Couldn't believe after 2000 years, no one did any artwork on it, but I couldn't figure out how to do it. I was at the Vatican and Cardinal Czerny from the Migrants and Refugees Department, which was just a new department opening up. I had dinner with him, and he said to me, could you please come up with a sculpture that shows immigrants, migrants, to celebrate our new department here, right? And so I went back to my studio here in Canada, and bang, the whole idea just hit me. All migrants, all immigrants. A lot of them were photographs taken from Ellis Island, but also some contemporary refugees, all on this one boat, clustered in, tight.
And in the center, there's an angel, but you can only see the angel's wings because of the crowd. So in a sense, the wings became everyone's wings, and to suggest that everyone is spiritual. And I thought it was the most amazing way to visually translate that scripture. So, yeah, it was an amazing project. The emotion in that is intense. There's 140 different people on that boat to reflect the 140 sculptures that Bernini carved on the colonnade surrounding the St. Peter's Square. So it was an amazing experience. And yeah.
Well, Timothy, Paul Schmaltz, we're just about out of time. One more time, the website is timothypaulschmaltz.com. There's lots of things that people can find there. You got featured works, installations, videos, a gallery of all of Timothy Paul Schmaltz's work. TimothyPaulSchmaltz.com. Thank you so much for being with us. Stick around, folks. We've got another hour to be on the air.